This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
It's the John and Gordy Show.
Do you know what this means?
Wouldn't you like to know, weather boy?
You're pretty high and far out, aren't you? What kind of kick are you on, son?
No good bastard. Your show sucks.
What made me think this was a good day to stop drinking?
Buddy, you want coffee?
Coffee.
Black coffee.
Coffee.
They warned us about people like you!
What a load of crap.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
We'll do it live!
And that's the way it is.
On 92.7 FM, WMDX. Take it away, boys.
Wow.
Got decaf going. Good coffee. Oh, boy. Welcome to our 7 o'clock hour, 7:07 right now.
Coffee. I don't know why he walks backwards, you know.
I don't get that. This portion of the John and Gordy Show is brought to you by Verlo Mattress of Madison. Sleep better and dream bigger on handcrafted Verlo Mattress. Available on the east side or the west side or online at verlo.com.
That guy is from Twin Peaks, by the way.
Coffee.
Good stuff.
That was a great show.
Oh, man. Okay, let's good get stuff. To Demure.
Demure. That's the word of the year, it John. Is. Yeah, it they is. Had a selection. Demure, Brat, Brain Rot, and Weird. But Demure came out on top.
Yeah, we got our research department to look into this.
Yeah? And what did he find out?
Sam? Sam is our research department.
Found something.
I found a TikTok for you.
All right.
It is a term from TikTok. This is titled, How to Be Demure and Modest and Respectful at the Workplace.
All right. Let's check it out.
You see how I do my makeup for work? Very demure. Very mindful. I don't come to work with a green cut crease. I don't look like a clown when I go to work. I don't do too much. I'm very mindful while I'm at work. See how I look very presentable? The way I came to the interview is the way I go to the job. A lot of you girls go to the interview looking like Marge Simpson and go to the job looking like Patty and Selma. Not demure. I'm very modest. I'm very mindful. You see my shirt? Only a little chichi out, not my chocho. Be mindful of why they hired you. Here's your reality check, diva. What's the name you'd like me to make it out to?
I think Chocho should have made been the word.
Okay, explain this to us.
This is a perfect example of another word that was almost on the word of the year, brain rot. Like all of these things that you need so much extra context to understand. It rots your brain in order to understand these things.
It does.
But demure, that's demure for you.
Okay, very mindful, very...
Subdued.
Okay, yeah. That's the word of the year.
Go to work.
Demure.
Okay. Subdued. All right, let's get to something really, truly weird. You know, this is the big story here.
Okay.
And it'll be the big story for a long time because, as you know, Trump is against those heavy batteries. You know, they sink boats, and you either have to go down with a boat and a heavy battery or... go with the shark. they voted for this guy to be our next president, you know. Oh my God, please, somebody wake us up. All right. So anyway, Nebraska AG is suing to stop the big oil monopoly from losing its position as a monopoly. So he wants to stop the EV truck market.
He's opposed to the big breakup of big oil.
See, this is AG Mike Dilgers in Nebraska. He's trying to sell absolute bizarro world logic behind his lawsuit to stop the EV trucks from being in the marketplace. Let's check this out.
Well, this lawsuit is really part of a broader effort to fight back against what is really a dramatic effort to change the way our logistics industry runs in the United States. But what our lawsuit alleges is that the four largest manufacturers, the industry in manufacturing of of trucks.
Yeah.
An industry that is based entirely and currently on a gas-based, diesel-based model.
That model.
One that has led to lower
that
costs.
Monopoly.
Predictability. Yes. Has standard infrastructure all around the country in the form of gas
monopoly,
stations.
It's called.
And the like. Those four are colluding in a classic antitrust way, a way that's, in other words, violative of our antitrust laws, are colluding to restrict and ultimately in its entirety the output of electric or gas-based vehicles and to shift us into away from those vehicles and towards an electric future.
Oh, no.
On a time horizon that is both impossible or highly impractical, but also will lead to increased costs for logistics companies and ultimately consumers. This is an antitrust case. It's a classic textbook example of something you can't do. If you have market power, you can't collude to reduce output because it leads, it harms customers because it raises prices. Here in this case, the evidence actually is unlike what you normally would see because it's out right in the open. They entered into, these four companies entered into a written agreement called the Clean Truck Partnership that said exactly what it is that they're going to do. And what they want to do is reduce output of gas and diesel-based trucks to zero. Within a blink of an eye in terms of the time horizon for these types of trucks.
Your opinion.
And push to an electric-based future without a vote of the people, without an action of Congress, without the free market really
vote
dictating.
Of the people.
And that ultimately is a classic antitrust violation. California is the second of three prongs of the attack really to push us from this gas-based model to an electric vehicle-based model. California's issued at least two other regulations that are pretty important. One is Clean Truck. The other is Advanced Clean Fleet. Third, by the way, an attack from the Biden administration.
Like that. Not that.
Those three prongs together, regulatory plus this antitrust, are really an effort to push us towards away from diesel-based present to an uncertain electric-based future.
Ooh.
The outcome we're seeking in this case is just to rip up the agreement. We would like to tear up the agreement and just have the free market have its say. Don't collude to try to drive us to this future in a way that violates our antitrust laws.
It's not. You know, it's a move to electric vehicles, right. And all of these manufacturers are thinking, well, you know, we have to have the charging stations nationwide, so we want those gas stations, those islands, to be able to provide that electricity for our trucking fleets.
Exactly.
It's not colluding to, I don't know what, create an electric monopoly of trucks? I don't know. And then, of course, the thing that hit you and hit me at the same time was the people should vote on this.
Well, here we go with referendums, right? Yeah.
Nationwide referendum.
Oh.
We should all vote on, should we move to an electric vehicle future or not?
I think Al Gore said it best with the analogy, the Stone Age didn't end because of a shortage of stones.
Exactly. Yes.
Exactly.
That's right.
Oh, my God. I mean, you know, big oil is already, you know, a monopoly. It's a cartel.
Mm.
This upside down, incredibly bad argument to stop progress, you know, maybe dumb enough to get approval by the Trump administration. So we'll see, right? It's crazy.
I was listening to Dom yesterday. He was talking about this, referendums. You know, whenever legislatures or governor, you know, anybody in government wants to kick it down the road, they start pushing for a referendum from the people. Let's see how the people feel about it.
Exactly.
It just puts off them making any kind of decision to move forward or to make any progress.
Right.
Let's do a referendum on it. See what the people think.
And then, of course, what they want to do then is reword the referendum so it really is confusing, and then it actually benefits them and not the people who want to actually change something in the referendum. Or they're against the referendum and make it harder to vote on a referendum by increasing the percentage of people that have to approve the referendum.
It just muddies the waters the way around.
I mean,
it doesn't make any...
No one sees the scam, right? No one sees this?
No.
Come on.
Crazy talk.
But anyway, I was just so fascinated by the idea that that these trucking companies are trying to create a monopoly of electric vehicles. I just can't wrap my head around this kind of stuff.
Well, the manufacturers are pretty much now all in on electric. I mean, they've all come around to the idea. This is the future. Yes, they have to be.
Yes.
And these trucks are more powerful now. I mean, the technology is really pushing forward. It's getting better and better. So But we need this electric grid. I mean, we need the electric stations.
We need it more than anything.
Yes.
And not only that, but progress, you know, continues, of course, developing these electric vehicles and the batteries in them and the charging ability of these batteries and the distance you can go on each of these batteries. These things constantly are changing because research has been poured into this.
Yeah. We got a text here says, remember, though, Trump is now pro-electric vehicles. He had a chance to get Elon's money Elon in on
That's
all of
right.
this. Yeah. So now Trump is changing. He's in on electric vehicles. He's good with it.
And here's another one here. So MAGA wants our economy to be vulnerable to OPEC forever. And that's right. The Trump family is very good friends with Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Very good friends.
Yeah. Yeah, they got a lot of money stashed away.
They just want to rip up the landscape and produce more oil than we've ever been able to have.
Yeah, we've got plenty of oil right here in the U.S. In fact, we're exporting.
Oh,
what's that?
You hit a button on your computer. I was going to jump in with saying, what are you?
Is that your phone?
Probably.
Is it my phone?
Where is it?
No.
Where's this coming from?
There's a voice in the air.
There is a voice in the air. That was my laptop in front of me.
It was your computer.
Yeah.
Oh,
it was your
laptop.
Who knows, right?
I was going to jump in with just like a little historical timeline of like the development of like gasoline and like combustion powered cars compared to like EVs. So lithium batteries have existed for less than 40 years. Mm-hmm. They were invented in the 90s. And if you think about like gasoline powered cars, gasoline early formulations sucked until like the 1920s, 1930s when refineries kind of nailed down the process.
Mm-hmm.
It took them a while.
Yeah.
And it's been about that time, the same amount of time for electric powered cars.
Right.
And they're pretty darn good now. We just need more infrastructure. We know how to build the infrastructure. We just need to like get out there and do it. We need the funding and the laws to allow us to do it.
That's right.
As good as any combustion powered car out there.
It's kind of like building when they were building the interstate system in the 50s when Eisenhower got behind that to build the interstate system because we knew we needed it and truckers were, you know, trying to get stuff from point A to point B. The interstate road system was a good idea.
That's right.
And, you know, it was revolutionary at the
but
time.
But at the time, there were people complaining about the cost of putting an interstate system in. Yes. And now they're complaining about the cost of putting these charging stations throughout the entire country. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, because technology continues to change, they're changing the way these charging stations look and charge vehicles.
Right.
So it's an ongoing change. And we're going to have to pay for it.
Progress. Coming up, Brittany Merlot will update us on Thanksgiving travel weather. And also, Jim Santel. We're going to get into Jack Smith dropping those prosecutions.
That's outrageous, isn't it?
Yeah. We'll find out what Jim thinks about that. All coming up on John and Gordy in the Morning.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
WMDX, John and Gordy in the Morning. It's time once again for Brittany Merlot to fill us in on what's going on in the weather because it's damn awful cold out there right now and the wind chills are, well, incredible right
teens.
Now.
Yeah, it's cold, Brittany.
The feel-like temperature also.
Yeah.
Oh, seriously. Oh, I hate it. Up here, it feels like the single digits. So consider you guys lucky.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, we got to clarify a lot of stuff here. You know, we want to go with the wind chill. We're never going to change, okay? We are going to stay in one spot, just like Trump wants us to stay in one spot with oil. What is the word salad they replaced wind chill with? They have three categories of describing. how cold it is.
It's going to be called a cold weather alert. So just simplifying it so everyone can understand that cold weather is going to be hitting. So they're going to take into effect I know, it's ridiculous.
The wind, the temperature.
Okay. So it's not going to be just focused on just the wind, right? Mm-hmm. Usually the wind chill headlines used to mean, listen, we've got 20-mile-per-hour winds. It's going to make it feel probably 20 degrees cooler.
And it did.
And it did, right. So we all understood it, especially in Wisconsin.
Right.
but then there were times when the high pressure would move in and it was so cold and the wind was not moving because the wind doesn't really move underneath the high pressure. We love them, though. And the National Weather Service would not have headlines out saying it's dangerously cold, even though the temperatures, you know, were, say, negative 20 in the morning with no wind.
Well, that's their problem. You know, they could say it's dangerously cold out there. We don't have wind chills, but it's dangerously cold. I mean, that's, you know, right? Easy.
I agree. They could have just added the cold weather alert for the no wind.
Right,
kept
exactly.
The wind chill, and then everybody would have probably understood, but hey, we're trying to make it
No one asked us, right?
And no one did.
You know, if they just let us spitball it for a while, we could have come up with a better idea.
Yeah.
Man. All right.
So what are we looking at for the next couple of days as people hit the roads?
For Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
All right. So both today and tomorrow are the last 2 days that we're going to climb above freezing for highs. So we'll get to the mid-30s today, some upper 30s tomorrow, and then we fall. I'm talking for Thanksgiving highs at about 30 to 32 degrees.
Okay.
But it will be partly sunny. So nice, nice weather there for us. We do have some light, light snow chances Wednesday night and then again Friday night. But they are very small, no accumulations, like not even an inch expected. So just so you know, you could see some flakes flying around, but otherwise dry and cold this weekend where highs are only going to be in the mid-20s.
All right.
Okay. Well, we can deal with that, I guess.
I guess we're going to have to, right? Choice. We're stuck in winter.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeehaw.
Yeah. All right. Well, do you have any big Thanksgiving plans? Yeah. You going to be traveling at all?
Yep. I'll be driving south, headed to the suburbs of Chicago to see the family. How about you guys? Are you staying put or are you on the move?
We're going to just...
going to stay in the area.
Yeah. That's it. We're staying in the area.
All right, Brittany.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for clarifying that.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll talk to you one more time to get last-minute updates for the Thanksgiving holiday.
Yep.
Sounds good.
All right.
Have a good day, guys. We'll
talk to you again.
Have a great day. Bye. Thanks. Brittany Merlot, our civic media meteorologist.
Okay, one of the big story was on Truth Social, Trump made a declaration that he's going after Mexico and Canada.
That's right, and China. All three.
Well, yeah,
he said China. They threw China in the mix now, too.
But he threw China in at just a 10% tariff.
Uh-huh.
But that 10% tariff will be added on to all the other tariffs that he's going to levy on China for all the other things that he wants to selectively pick out and add more tariffs.
So 10% across the board and then everything else is
everything else,
on
like
top
100%
of
tariff and 200% tariff and blah,
and with
blah,
Mexico
blah.
And Canada, I think it's 25%.
Why is
he picking on Canada?
As everyone is aware, of
this
course,
is from
everybody
Trump.
Is. Yeah, okay. Thousands of people are pouring in through Mexico and Canada now, bringing crime and drugs at levels never seen before. He's so idiotic. Okay.
Well, he always says that.
I know he does, but
Mexico.
I can't handle it anymore.
A lot of crime coming in from Canada?
Right now, a caravan coming from Mexico, composed of thousands of people, seems to be unstoppable. Wait a minute. He was talking about how great it was that everybody knows now he's going to be president, and that caravan broke up. It's not on its way anymore. Now it is back on, and it's on its way. It's unstoppable in its quest to come through our currently open border on January 20th. As one of my many first executive orders, I will sign all necessary documents to charge Mexico and Canada a 25% tariff on all products coming into the United States.
Wow.
And it's ridiculous. Open borders. This tariff will remain in effect until such a time as drugs, in particular fentanyl, and all illegal aliens stop this invasion of our country. Both Mexico and Canada have the absolute right and power to easily solve this longtime simmering problem, just like you did, huh, Trump? We hereby demand that they use this power, and until such time they do, it's time for them to pay a very big price. Okay. Now, a lot of people may not remember, but we had this competition, these tariffs, in Trump's first administration.
Yeah.
And he charged very high prices for lumber. Lumber went up.
Yes, I remember that.
And home builders couldn't build because the price was so outrageously ridiculous, right?
Right.
And then, of course, we had this war with cheese and milk with Canada. So I don't know. I don't think 25% tariff is going to be very, very good for consumers.
No.
And look,
is this just a scare tactic?
No. No, I think this is going to happen. And I truly believe that if we just relax a little bit and just, you know, wait and see. I think
you're back that's to the key. That's the key. Just wait and see.
Just wait and see what happens. Because a lot of this stuff is just, you know, it's maybe scare tactics from Trump, right?
Think so?
You know, just wait and see.
Could
already.
Be. We only just have a
minute
left here.
Just like my brothers told me, John, just wait and see, okay?
Well, we've got a text that mentions your brother, but we're going to come back with that.
All right.
Okay. It is 7:28. And when we return, Jim Santel, attorney, is going to talk about the Jack Smith prosecution's ending. That's all coming up on John and Gordy in the Morning.
It's the John and Gordy Show.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
If you're enjoying this program, tell a friend. Then we'll have two listeners. John and Gordy on 92.7 WMDX.
The way it works.
Well, it's easier to count.
Math. It's all about the math.
I do love math. All right.
It is 7:34 and it's cold this morning, 22 degrees, highs just in the mid 30s. The wind chill this morning is 13 degrees. So bundle up.
It's way too cold. Mm-hmm. Of course, we do have wind chills, continue to have wind chills, and we're going to stick with wind chills. I don't care what anybody says. They may try to make us change, but we're not going to change.
Okay.
All right?
And if it's so cold, you might just want to curl up in bed this morning on your Verlo mattress. This portion of the John and Gordy Show is brought to you by Verlo Mattress of Madison. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo mattress. Available on the east side or west side of Madison or online at verlo.com.
All right, we've got our special guest, Jim Santel, is with us from Amicus, a law review. You can listen to his program 9 a.m. to 11 each and every weekend, and it's great to hear you. In fact, you're on with Dom Selvia a lot, and it's good to have your input because there's so many legal issues that we have to deal with on a daily basis when we're talking about anything Trump. Right? I mean, this is what it's really all about. And this time, I think we hit you on a day where you're really angry.
Yeah.
Tell us all about what's happening here with the Jack Smith case that we'd like to see go forward, but is no longer going forward. Right. Two cases.
It is, with the exception of a small vestige of the documents case having to do with two defendants who are lingering out there. they will be dismissed as well once Donald Trump takes the presidency. Yesterday, big, big news. Rule of law news, justice news, political news, future of America kind of news. And that is the Department of Justice, through Jack Smith, special counsel, filed motions in both the election interference case, that's the one pending in front of Tanya Chutkan, that's in the District of Columbia, and also before the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals. That's where that case coming out of Eileen Cannon's court, the documents case, was up on appeal.
That's right.
And he seeking in both cases what's called leave of court, which means I'm asking permission, judge, to dismiss both of these cases, bring them to an end, close them out. And again, with the exception of a little bit of a vestige there in the 11th Circuit, Tanya Chutkan seized on it right away and granted the motion. The election interference case, about which we have spoken so much on this broadcast, is done. It is over. And again, the in the wake of that, I shake my head in absolute incredulity, because as we were chatting just offline, the reason for this decision now in late November is just this. There is a policy that's been out there since, frankly, the late 1990s and early part of this century that says you can't prosecute a sitting president. Now, that's an internal policy of the Department of Justice. It's not Supreme Court law. It's not legislated. It is entirely within the ambit, the prerogative of the Attorney General to establish that and all kinds of policies related to how work is done. Mm-hmm. It's been out there for many, many years. And it's on that basis that Jack Smith said this. Well, it's clear that Donald Trump will be the president of the United States of America in 55 days from now. And so I'm going to preemptively dismiss these cases, take them off the docket, because that's, as some people on the media out there, those talking heads, are saying, that's the integrity thing to do. That's the thing that the Justice Department should be doing to support its policies. Well, you know, the integrity here, Jack, and I would actually look more to our Attorney General, in whom, again, it's a great country. I can appear on your wonderful show, and I can be very critical of my Attorney General, and I will be. Attorney General can and should have said, the policy does not apply right now. And here's the point. Will those two cases, will they ever go to trial? No, they will not. We know that that's impossible, a scheduling impossibility. But what would keeping them in place for the next 55 days do?
Yeah.
Two important things. We'd get a decision from Tanya Chutkan. This is the woman who was given homework by the Supreme Court to figure out what that catastrophic decision about immunities, does it preclude the prosecution? I'd like to hear from a federal judge about whether or not the Supreme Court's decision, and Jack Smith was advocating that it did not. He's filed this omnibus brief. Remember, we talked about this as well. His position was nothing there to prevent the case from going ahead. Wouldn't it be good in American history and American jurisprudence for Tanya Chutkan, the federal district court judge responsible for this, to come forth, as she would have said, and give us an opinion, as she did a year and a half ago, that the immunities do not apply, would not have prevented the criminal trial of the incoming president. That is worth something in terms of jurisprudence today and in the future. And also it's worth something for the 11th Circuit to have told Eileen Cannon definitively, as they also would have, that she is wrong about this special counsel stuff. She is out there on her own. It was important for the country to hear that she was wrong about that, that there is nothing about 20, 25 years of history, including Supreme Court cases, that would suggest otherwise. It's important for the future of this nation to know that special counsels are still viable ways of responding to criminal behavior. Now, we don't get that either. Both cases, sacrificing the legitimate, I would say, legal interests of the American population by the decision to dismiss these prematurely, not affording the courts the ample time, 55 days, not 5 days, not 15, 55 days in which to do this, and it's not going to happen. I cannot be more critical of the Department of Justice, for which I worked for 30 years, than I am this morning, and disappointed and dismayed.
I agree with you. I think it is truly important that those two decisions should at least have been there on the record legally to at least reference in the future what had took place and what can take place in the future if we have another situation just like that. I didn't even occur to me, and I'm glad you brought it up. It really is that important, and not to let this thing go.
Right. And for what it's worth, if I'm not an entirely credible person, as all your listeners know, but if you place any stock in the New York Times, a great piece, it's a news piece, late yesterday, talks about the end of the Trump cases, leaving these presidential issues unresolved. Two paragraphs at the top of the second page. The result isn't just that Trump appears to escape criminal liability. That's what everybody's outraged about, right? That he's going off into his presidency and, my gosh, he'll never be held responsible. But it also means that these two open constitutional questions will go without definitive answers for him, for us, for the Department of Justice. And we'll also now give, by the way, the political piece of this, you know it's coming, is Donald Trump now for all time, for the next 4 years, for as long as he lives, will say, yeah, it was those Democrats who brought those bad cases to start with.
Yep.
And at the end of their term, rather than letting my Department of Justice take care of them, they recognized there was no merit to them. Yeah. And so they dismissed them. Right. I didn't do that. The Democrats did that because they knew there's no merit there. That is not the case. Right. These are meritorious cases. And we just handed him more fodder, if you will, to attack the other side.
And Jack Smith pointed that out in his statement, right? These are cases that should have gone forward.
Absolutely. And he said, again, my own view is, I think Jack Smith, if he had his druthers, if he didn't have a boss, he probably would have gone ahead, at least for the next 55 days. He said, you know what? Last part of his commentary was, these are still meritorious cases. And then he goes on to say, and there, this is the other thing the pundits are jumping over themselves to note, well, these cases are being dismissed without prejudice. Well, what does that mean? That's a legal term that basically says if at some point down the road the Department of Justice wants to reinitiate them, they can do so. All right. So that Tanya Chutkin can dismiss them without prejudice. Well, what is the abundant problem with that?
Yeah.
The statute of limitations is 5 years.
Yeah.
And so there is no possibility that these cases will ever be prosecuted, ever, period. Don't send messages to the American public suggesting that this was anything less than a complete collapse of these cases, knowingly, purposefully, and again, to my mind, contrary to what the Department of Justice is all about, which is upholding the law and pursuing cases. Let Donald Trump and his attorney general define himself by being the one who dismisses the cases against him, becomes the first defendant in Anglo-American history to dismiss his own case.
Hmm.
Let him be the one to tell America that that's his commitment in this new term, this new administration. That's how strongly he feels. I will dismiss the case against me. I will tell my attorney general to do that. And let him define himself that way. Don't you, Merrick Garland. Well, he already has. You already have defined yourself, Merrick Garland, for what you've done.
We're talking to Jim Santel, attorney at law, and we are taking your texts and phone calls, too, if you'd like to chime in, 608-879-8255. Do you think Merrick Garland or anybody in the Department of Justice, were they worried about retribution if they didn't do something like this? Were they worried about Trump throwing them in jail and going after them?
Sure. I suspect that that's the kind of thing that's in the footnotes to the memorandums that circulated around that, you know, gosh, we made ourselves. So let's do this. But let's think through even that theory.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump has made clear to the days right before the election, I am your retribution. And both his first nominee and frankly, his second nominee to the attorney general position indicate that he intends to go after his political rivals. That's what he said.
Yeah.
And on that list are the Bidens, and on that list are the Obamas, and you name them. He is going to, we've got an incoming attorney general who previously had said, we need to investigate and prosecute the prosecutors. Are we so naive as to believe that because we dismiss these cases early, that somehow they're going to turn around and say, well, yeah, we won't go after them.
Yeah, thanks. No,
that's not this motivation.
Mm. Well, there's a newsletter that I get from The Law Dork. Have you heard of him, Chris Geidner?
I have.
All right.
Yes.
This is the last paragraph in his latest email. The House took too long on Trump's second impeachment. The Senate failed to convict Trump in the second impeachment. The Justice Department moved slowly, and things only picked up speed after Smith took over. And the Supreme Court had a trio of failures, not taking the immunity case early as Smith sought, rejecting Colorado's 14th Amendment ballot decision, and holding that presidents maintain significant criminal immunity for life. A few other footnotes there.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think we can all concur in that.
Yeah.
A whole lot of responsibility to be assigned around here. And it's in the wake of all of that late, tardy, incomplete, a decision not to pursue Donald Trump on the first possibility of impeachment.
Right.
Nancy Pelosi making the determination not to do that. An awful lot of finger pointing can go on here. My point is, in the wake of that finger pointing, we made it worse just yesterday. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of thing that, it's done now. You add that now to the list, that in the wake of all of this lethargy and inattention and failure to deter him, deterrence, that's the big word.
Yeah.
We did it once again just yesterday. When is the lesson going to be learned here? It certainly is not there in the Department of Justice this morning.
Well, we know there's a tremendous amount of efficacy at this point, you know, in the administration, and all the Republicans are really, really just devoting themselves to Trump. The thing here is that they didn't have this at the time of the first impeachment, and they summarily just outright dismissed the impeachment completely in the Senate, which was just, you know, we wouldn't be at this point had they done their job mm-hmm. in Absolutely. The first place, and then the second place, the second impeachment.
And in the third place, yeah. and the fourth place. Yes. All that good commentary right there. Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It is all about sending the message, you cannot do this. You stop, it's like your four-year-old son or daughter. You stop them from placing yeah. their hand in a place that should not be on the flame in the candy jar. And so they won't do it again in the future. That's deterrence. It applies maybe with equal force to an incoming president who behaves like a child quite often.
All right. Jim Santel, thank you for joining us this morning.
7:49.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you very much, Jim. Back with more after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Nightly 2.7.
Why are we playing this?
WMDX.
Scratch out of it.
Good. It's
you
good
just
stuff.
Want to get rid of it?
No, it sounds,
too
it sounds
late.
Great.
Too late.
It sounds fantastic.
Why are you playing banjo music? I thought we banned banjo music.
No, we didn't ban.
Why?
Because you want to hear Billy Joel, we're going to hear banjo music.
Really? We're going to have a little war now music?
Yes, we're going to have a war.
I'm going to pitch you two against each other. I want to see a fist fight.
Okay,
in this
you
video.
Wait. You he's, just wait,
he's
mister.
He's doing all of that from his control room.
Yes.
He's got control, man. He's manipulating us.
We should be angry. Right, I am.
Trying to stir it up.
About that. All right, let's get to a couple of text in regards to our last conversation.
All right.
It's not like Trump will refrain from committing crimes when he becomes president again. There will be new charges in 2029.
Well, what difference does that make?
If he's still alive.
Yeah.
We are a country of laws except for the rich and powerful. How do you expect people to embrace democracy? I agree. I think just...
Thank you, Doug,
You
that
really
comment.
Have to rethink...
He also,
our legal system.
He had another comment there. Incredulity should be the word of the day.
Yeah. Yeah. Or this.
Oh, that one.
This, yeah.
Check
this
that
is,
one.
This is from Pete out in Winneconne. And it's a good comment. You know, I keep bringing up my brothers voting for Trump. Oh, my God. Can't believe I'm saying that. He said, I can relate to having a MAGA brother. Every time I see him, I end up Googling the topics he brings up. Exactly what I do. Yeah. He won't tell they me where care. He hears about these things, but the big news after the election was the House hearings on UFOs and President Biden sucking on babies' toes.
What?
I just end up feeling sad and confused after our visits. No kidding.
Yeah, is that how you
I'm
feel?
I was bumping into walls the whole weekend. Because I wanted to tell you guys what had happened to me, and my brothers had betrayed our trust.
You think they get most of their information on X or Fox News or Newsmax?
There's this middle ground news network that my brother, who is somewhat conservative, watches endlessly, and he loves all of I've actually watched it myself. He sent me links to those stories, and there is spin in those stories, and he just doesn't see it.
Big spin.
But there's nothing I can do. I can't convince these guys otherwise on any of this.
Sam, did you have a comment?
Well, I was going to say I'm thankful a little bit that I'm not going to the Davison family Thanksgiving because my crazy uncle who moved to Florida is coming back for a week. They took a road trip up here. And they're staying with my parents, so if I went home, I'd have to deal with him. Yeah.
You've got other plans, right?
Yes. Yeah, I'm going to Sophia's parents' place.
That's good. That's good.
By the way, tomorrow, just a programming note, we'll be here tomorrow morning, and then we're going to be on the afternoon show.
And we're
going to
be filling in for Dom Salvia.
Yeah.
And
from 4 to 6.
Yeah, and we've got some guests coming up in the afternoon show as well. We'll have Jim Santel again on tomorrow. I think about maybe 5 or so. Yeah. And then we also have Tim.
Mike McCabe? What? Oh, Tim Schlecker.
What are you
Tim
looking
Schlecker.
At?
Tim Schlecker from
Tim
Busted,
Schlecker from Busted Pencils will be on at 4:35.
This is your deal. I'm not your producer that day. Well,
no, I'm not asking you for it.
Yeah, well, you were looking at me like I was the one who talked to him about it.
Never mind. Okay. Yes.
Okay, so we've got a couple of guests on tomorrow as we fill in for Dom.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
And then we'll have our normal programming tomorrow.
That's right.
And we'll have Mike McCabe in.
That's right.
At 7:35.
Okay.
Good got a deal. Real treat for Thanksgiving
busy.
And Black Friday as well.
Oh, yes.
Not going to want to miss those shows.
Yes, we've recorded some extra shows there for Thanksgiving
New material.
And Friday, yes.
Or old material, as you might want to put it.
Yeah, on one of those shows, I think it's the Friday show, we're going to play the entire new version, the remixed version, remastered, remixed, 16 tracks.
16 tracks.
Set your tape recorder for 7:20 on Friday.
16 tracks, and what do you get?
Another day older and a bucket of crap. Okay. So it's a big day. So that, it's the John and Gordy theme. That's what we're talking about, that we're going to be playing at 7:20-ish.
Yeah.
Right? 7:20 on Friday. Speaking of music, 1701 texts in and says, let's have a contest, because you hate the banjo music that I played coming in. Okay. Let's have a contest. If Gordy can refrain from talking about music for a week, I'll buy a Verlo mattress.
What? Really?
Wow.
1701 says that. Okay. All right.
Well, we're both music jocks, right? I mean, we played music for a heck of a long time. We have our opinions about the groups that we played.
We do.
The requests that we used to get for those groups.
We have.
And after playing those songs ad nauseum, we do have an opinion
about
those songs and the music.
And we differ greatly on a lot of that.
Well.
Don't we? From time to time.
Well, it's just a little on a few groups, right?
Yeah.
You like Eric Clapton and Billy Joel for some stupid reason. I don't know why.
Okay. Well, I've seen them both in concert. I a lot of times judge the musicians that I talk about if I've
from
seen
what
them
you've seen.
In concert.
Yeah, yeah. Personally.
You know, because it sometimes differs from their
does.
Recorded stuff.
It does.
You know, with you both of those cases, Billy Joel far exceeded my expectations in concert than what I heard on the radio up until that point.
I will go along with you on that. If you go to a concert, you get a better feel
better
for
sense.
What the musician feels like. They talk about the songs that they play. You see the emotion.
Right.
You know that they're being honest on stage.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. And same thing with Clapton.
And that convinces
you.
I suppose you like Sting and Police too, right?
I've not seen them in concert. Okay.
But do you like them?
I do like Sting. Sting and Billy Joel are going to be in Milwaukee.
No. Oh my
this
God!
April. Let's go.
I have to Why stay away from that.
No, no.
I
you
might
should
become
go.
Comatose.
You might change your mind.
Oh, I just my head.
I think
just
we should put together a little John and Gordy trip and get some fans to go.
Yeah, that's what we should do.
Get a bus and we could go to Billy Joel and Sting.
A crazy bus. Let's put a crazy bus together.
Let's do it.
All right.
Well, guess what? We're out of time.
Are we already?
We're out of time.
I had this big topic I wanted to get to.
I'm sorry. You don't have any time.
Oh, well, I guess.
Hey, Mike McCabe will join us tomorrow. We hope you have a good Stephanie Miller's next right here. Right. Have a great day. Why do you get into this with Billy Joel?
I can't help it. I hate him.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.